The One Day Room by Brianne de Croth. Maggie Blacker stood before the French windows of the One Day Room and surveyed her garden with pleasure. The small courtyard was a riot of spring flowers, backed by an equally small, neat garden, with the verdant green grass still glistening with the early dew. "Eh, the daffodils are doing really well this year, Joey," she said, "and it won't be long before the jonquils will be in full bloom." Of course, if she looked closely, and she would later in the day, a few dead heads could be removed, and the occasional weeds pulled out before it grew too noticeable. And she would need to get the battery of the electric mower charged ready for mowing next week. Even so, she was tempted to sit for a while, sipping her morning coffee and continue her chat with Joe. "I've arranged for the plumber to come and check the leak by the back door, but it's unlikely he can be here until after the weekend. He says many of the houses in the street are having the same problem. All the pipes will need replacing eventually." "And I suspect eventually will be sometime this year. After all, nearly all our houses were built at the same time." Enjoying the aroma of her coffee, she took a few appreciative sips before continuing. "I'm trying out a new brand of coffee, which is ever so much cheaper than our usual brand. It's real good, too. I expect it would be even better if our percolator had a thorough clean. You remember you always did that on the first day of the year?" Her voice trailed off as she remembered the first day of the present year and also remembered that the coffee pot, like many other things, had not had its annual cleaning ritual. With a small sigh, she turned back and looked around the room. Discarding the now empty coffee cup, she went over to the piano and noted the small film of dust surrounding the musical manuscripts. Once tidied into a neat pile, the dust was even more apparent, and she made a mental note that she should bring a duster in later in the day. She pushed back the cover and her arthritic fingers trilled over the keys of their favourite song. Many an evening had been enjoyed singing duets. "Gee, that were fun, Joey," she said. "We were bloody awful at first, but I reckon we got better with practice. A few more rehearsals and we would have..." She broke off as she realised what she was saying, and she quietly replaced the cover. The piano was definitely out of tune. She remembered now they had intended to get the tuner in as soon as the rainy season was over, and that had been 6 weeks ago. The old record player was the same one they had bought when first married. They would take turns choosing a classical musical piece from their vast vinyl collection, reminiscing at each play as to when and where it had been bought and first heard. Of course, the long play stylus was well overdue for replacement, but as her hearing wasn't so good, it didn't worry her as much as it used to when they both sat over their hot chocolate drink before retiring to bed. She sorted through the extended plays, and finding the Moonlight Sonata, gently lowered it to the turntable. Joe's workbench was always messy, of course. You wouldn't expect anything else from his carpentry projects. He had always liked to lay out his tools neatly in front of him before starting work, saying it helped him visualize the finished project and what was needed in order to accomplish it. "I guess it's a bit like you when you start to knit a jumper. The raw wood comes first, or sometimes the pattern. Then I look for the right wood that will suit. I need the saw to cut, the different size knives to whittle, the emery boards to smooth down, the varnish or undercoat, and then, and then the fun stuff begins. He had given up the furniture making years ago, but had gained much satisfaction making children's toys such as trains, puzzles, dolls' houses, and figurines. True, the modern trend was for the finished product to stand on a shelf as a work of art rather than a plaything. But, as Joey would say, it's a journey of making it, and afterwards reliving that creative journey every time you see it. Maggie knew what he meant, but she associated her spinning to his woodwork more than knitting. She loved to have her wheel side by side with Joey's table, both able to look out at the changing ambience of the garden through its seasons. Maggie moved to the back of the room, where a shelf spanned from one side to the other, filled with books of every size and genre. The large travel books were the favourites, well-worn with occasional pages crinkled at the corner of favourite countries that were considered as the ones most likely to visit. Oh, when the painting of the house was completed. Well, after Christmas. When the weather is a little more acceptable. She fingered the book on Barcelona, still open on the side table, and flicked through the familiar pages. Gaudi's creativity was to be seen on every page. A few enlarged prints of the Sagrada Familia could even be seen hanging on the walls. The new camera, ready for the trip of a lifetime, was still on the side table, with its warranty and book of instructions. The one-day room was large. It had been built as an extension to the original ranch-style home, spanning the entire width of the house with access to the garage at one side and kitchen on the other. It had often been treated as a dump room in the early years. Maggie and Joe had seen it more as a transient waiting room for things being taken from garage to house, which as yet had not found a home. In latter years, it was where things that needed fixing would be taken. Again, in the early years, these items would have a short stay. But as the years went on, such items tended to stay where they had been left. A corner, a shelf, a table. Usually in plain sight, so as not to be forgotten. Over on the far wall was a large old armchair, situated so as to be able to see the entire panorama of room and garden. It was Joey's chair. It was where he had sat most days in those declining months, his voice still as enthusiastic as ever.
I tell you, Mags, as soon as I get on my feet again, I'm going to rearrange that flower bed with the dahlias. They need pulling out so that we can separate the tubers and replant them over by the fence. God, they'll be able to grow pretty large over there. Oh, it'll be a riot of colour, you see. Oh, and remind me, Mags, next time we get to the hardware store, I must get my drill fixed. It only needs a slight adjustment, but I need it done professionally. Those cheap new ones just don't do the job properly. You know, I'm thinking to make one of those alphabet boards for the grandkids for Christmas. I saw one in the toy store catalogue, but I think I can make one better and a darn sight cheaper. Maggie allowed her fingers to caress the back of the chair. With eyes closed, she could still hear him. Oh, don't nag me, Mags. This new medication is doing me the world of good. I'll be back on my feet in no time. So I'll get around to it. I'll come in here and I'll stay on the job until everything is done. One day I will. Yeah, one day. One day, my love, she said quietly. Oh, yes. One day soon, very soon now.
Very soon now, I'll join you. You have been listening to The One Day Room, written and narrated by Brianda Cross. Thank you for listening.
Similar and different monologues, stories, and ensemble pieces are available at Fast Fiction Podcasts.